another number. I am a free man.
Greetings, fellow conspirators. Gardner Goldsmith here with you for Liberty Conspiracy Audios, the adjunct to libertyconspiracy.com, and of course the Liberty Conspiracy Facebook page. Hope you'll join us over there anytime. It is free to join. It's good to be here with you to give you this very brief introduction to a program that is in memoriam. We are remembering the work and achievements, the personality, the good spirits of a man who passed away on June 1st. His name was Samuel Blumenfeld, and if you're not familiar with Sam, I think this podcast will do a pretty decent job in introducing you to some of Sam's ideas, his work, and his fight for freedom and truth. You can also find great videos of Sam speaking and people speaking in honor of Sam Blumenfeld on YouTube. And remember his name. He is the author of many books, some of which are still available, some of which are out of print, and many of which will soon be back in print thanks to the number of people who appreciated and felt greatly honored to know this man. I am one of them, and I really hope that you get an opportunity to listen to this program and spread the word about it. Tell people about it. Maybe link it at a friend's Facebook page or something like that. Tweet about it. And let people know there was a real hero out there for scholarship and literacy and getting away from the corrupt state-run government's tax-funded school systems. In this program, you'll hear me get ready to offer the final interview, what I believe is the final interview with Sam Blumenfeld, which was conducted on May 12th, about 2 weeks before he died. And he and I chatted over the phone, and I said goodbye to Sam. And he was lucid and sharp, and I actually tried to play this about twice on the show, and we kept running out of time going up to the commercial breaks. So I will use the podcast format and the editing powers of a podcast mastering to give you the entire thing and let you hear it without the breaks. So I hope you like it, and I hope you'll look for Sam's work. He was an amazing guy, and he lived an amazing life, going from World War II as an artilleryman and coming back and becoming very involved in the fight for children's ability to be able to read and for a parent's ability to be able to remove a child from the corrupt government school systems, and for the taxpayer's ability to stop paying for that system. So I hope you enjoy the program. Feel free to join us over on the Facebook page. And once again, it's Samuel Blumenfeld, B-L-U-M-E-N-F-E-L-D. Here's the program.
I'm so long.
This is Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM. If you are streaming us over the airwaves, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you very much for carrying us if you are one of the affiliates of LRN. Gardner Goldsmith here with you coming in after Free Talk Live. Hope you'll visit their website. They always have great information provided by the hosts of Free Talk Live as well as the people who visit the website. And their conversations are always fascinating on Free Talk Live. It's always great to come in after those guys for our conspiracy gathering. Yes. Lots to discuss tonight. As promised, tonight I will go into the multi-segment questions for libertarians and answers to those questions that were provided by a woman who is a contributor to the Concord Monitor, one of the medium-sized papers, I guess larger papers in New Hampshire, medium-sized papers, newspapers in New England. And, of course, they have dropped off dramatically in their readership as people turn to alternative sources of information. What a shocker, right? Absolutely. So we'll read to you what one of their contributing writers had to say, some questions that she honestly had for libertarians and what their ideas are like and what the effect of their ideas might be, what their definitions are. So we'll talk about that in the next hour. And also, I will give you a little bit more information about some of this Patriot Act stuff, the NSA spying stuff. As you heard Daryl on the news, the spying will continue, and if people think that the NSA program is the only one that under Section 215 of the Patriot Act it's going to be stopped, that spying is going to be stopped overall, spying on Americans, that is false. That is not the case. But we do have a lot of big news to give you, and first I'd like to give you, we need our theme, don't we? Yes. Well, it's not really our theme, but, you know, it's sort of a newsy thing. It's the ABC News theme. Very solid, very brassy. That great 1970s touch of guitar. Bass line. Never get into wah-wah. Very slight wah-wah with the bass, you know. Okay, so you hear it here when we decide to give you the news. And I've got something that I want to begin the program to discuss. I have a number of stories to get into, obviously, that are breaking stories that are pertinent, I believe, pertinent to people who think about freedom, think about the functioning of the constitutional government of the United States and how that is not happening, and go beyond that into the moral and ethical analysis of government itself, of the state itself, to see whether or not even this Constitution thing, if it were to be operating, would be a moral construct. And we also try to look at economics and see how free markets tend to solve these things, how freedom tends to solve the problems that we see arising, the conflict that government basically places all of us in, to leave a preposition dangling. Because of government, we are pitted against each other, and yet we're told that it brings us together in one happy, wonderful family. That couldn't be further from the truth. So I have a number of stories I want to discuss, including things about the TSA, the Patriot Act, and so on, as I mentioned, and NSA spying. But right now, I just want to spend some time in this first segment and the second segment, or perhaps a little bit longer. I'll open up the Skype line to get your thoughts on this as well, because I want to acknowledge something that I think a lot of us suspected would be coming, and even he himself expected would be coming soon. Samuel Blumenfeld has passed away. He died at 10:30 this morning, as his niece said. Sammy passed away peacefully this morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. He was resting comfortably, and he is free and at peace now. I'm just mentioning a few things. We should remember what a great uncle and friend he was to us all. And there will be more information about this. This comes from some folks who I shall not mention their names because I have not gotten permission to mention their names. But if you're not familiar with the name Samuel Blumenfeld, you're probably a person who has not researched or been inquisitive about the history of the government takeover of education. And it was a government takeover of education. It was pushed by certain people with certain ideologies, and it started in the 17th century, of all things, in the United States, and really got advanced towards the latter half of the 18th century into the early 1900s, 19th century into the early 1900s, as the progressive movement really kicked in. Sam, as I mentioned on my Facebook page, Sam was in his late 80s, and Sam Blumenfeld was, I believe, and I think many other people believe, Sam Blumenfeld was the top researcher and scholar on the history of government changing the education system. His research was voluminous, not only in the history of education in the United States, but also in the proper methods to read. And towards the latter years of his life, he researched heavily the scholarship of Shakespeare and the attribution that should be applied to whom for the Shakespeare plays, to whom the attribution should be applied for the Shakespeare plays. And he wrote a book called The Marlowe Shakespeare Connection. And really a remarkable book, like a mystery novel. So I just want to mention that, as I mentioned on Facebook, that we're going to remember Sam just a little bit now, and also in the second hour probably talk about him as well. I just wanted to mention that Sam Blumenfeld lived about an hour and a half away from me. He was a real intellectual giant, as I mentioned on Facebook. If you want to look for some of his books, you might want to start with his late 1960s book, The New Illiterates. He had a follow-up called Why Johnny Still Can't Read. He also wrote a classic, Is Public Education Necessary? And in that, he really traces the history of the government takeover of what was a fantastic, recognized around the world, fantastic education system in the United States, which was privately run. And a lot of the information that I have, I derive from Sam's books. A lot of the information that John Taylor Gatto got for his material, he got from Sam. A lot of the material that Charlotte Iserbeit has, she got from Sam Blumenfeld. He was the wellspring for this. His best-selling book was probably, as he has said in videos on YouTube, probably his book NEA, Trojan Horse of American Education. And that book, he said, sold upwards of 60,000 copies. My father was the editor on that book. He met Sam in Washington, D.C. My father, Paul Goldsmith, met Sam in Washington, D.C. in the 80s. But my father did not put his name on Sam's book when he edited the book, NEA, Trojan Horse of American Education, because at that time it was extremely dangerous for my father to put his name on the book. NEA, Trojan Horse of American Education, was considered a radical book for apostates from the away from the education hierarchy and establishment. And my father had been brought to the Reagan administration to try to dismantle the education department. My father met Sam there. They would have clandestine meetings at restaurants, trying to talk to each other. And my father had messages that would go out that were supposedly supposed to go to Ronald Reagan's eyes, and sometimes they would get waylaid. They were doing some very interesting clandestine work there, and my father eventually left because he knew that there was no way that they were going to be able to shut down the education department and allow the states and the localities to have more control. In other words, allow the local people to have more control over education. Sam also wrote the books, Is Public Education Necessary? Fantastic. Alpha Phonics. And his latest one, just released a little while ago, right up until his 89th birthday, Crimes of the Educators. I mean, literally, he was born in May, I think May 31st of 1926, and he died today. So, an amazing man. Amazing, amazing guy. There's so much to say about Sam Blumenfeld. One of the greatest things I would like to say about him is his work. His work ethic and his dedication to, he was a religious guy, so some libertarians might not agree with his position on Judeo-Christianity or something like that. But I spoke to him on May 12th. He was on his deathbed, and he got on the phone and spoke to me. And while we were on the phone,
I said, you know, we have your new book. I wanted to interview you in depth, and I'm so sorry you're sick. And he goes, well, if you'd like to talk about it now, if you'd like to record it. He wanted to push even harder for freedom. We'll come back and talk about him some more. We're rolling along at Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network. Gardner Goldsmith here with you, taking some time in the beginning of the program to say farewell to Sam Blumenfeld. And Sam Blumenfeld was a friend of mine and a real hero for people who are interested in scholarship and understanding the course of history and the people behind the course of history that pushed a very, very good education system that was run essentially privately in the United States through the mid-1800s and turned it into a bureaucratized, systematized, top-down, government-run, tax appropriations-funded behemoth with a core group of people deciding on what the curricula would be and pinpointing one of the major foundational blocks in the effort of the progressives to create a pool of people in the United States who would be very good blue-collar workers and would not challenge the intellectual elites. That being the look-say whole language, sometimes called literature, and now even called phonics, though it's not phonics, method of reading, that really started to get pushed in the 1930s and then really blossomed in its popularity in schools around the 1950s with the Dick and Jane books, sadly, and has seen the destruction of generation after generation of people who have been left functionally illiterate and easily led. I'd like to read to you a quote, actually a couple quotes, before we talk some more about Sam Blumenfeld. Here's another quote, from Gregory Sams, from his terrific book, The State is Out of Date, re-released in 2013 with updated material. In chapter 2, he has a head, chapter is entitled, The Emperor Has No Clothes, and he has a quote. We shall get nowhere until we start by recognizing that political behavior is largely non-rational, that the world is suffering from some kind of mental disease which must be diagnosed before it can be cured. That's George Orwell stating it. And one of the best ways to destroy rational thought, as understood by the progressives, was to destroy the ability of the individual to investigate information for himself in the written form. Here is another excellent quote from Thomas Paine, Common Sense. This is from chapter 3 of Gregory Sams' book. Quote, some writers have so confounded society with government as to leave little or no distinction between them, whereas they are not only different, but have different origins. Society is produced by our wants, and government by our wickedness. The former promotes our happiness positively by uniting our affections. This is excellent. Gregory Sams, The State is Out of Date. And I read those quotes to continue talking about Sam and offer you some information from Sam's own words. Here is Sam Blumenfeld talking about part of the history of certain people, like John Dewey and others, the Rockefellers. And this is not a conspiracy theory. These people openly stated their goals, and they used their money and influence to change the pedagogy throughout United States government schools.
A different way of teaching reading had to be developed that would lower the literacy level of the American people. Dewey and his socialist colleagues were determined to change individualistic America into a collectivist society. I mean, in those days, the socialists were very open on what they wanted, you know, because nobody, you know, only the intellectuals thought in those terms. But the average American wasn't concerned. They said, these people will never get anywhere, you know. Who's in favor of socialism? Where did Dewey get his egalitarian utopian ideas? He got them from a novel by Edward Bellamy entitled Looking Backward, a fantasy of a socialist America in the year 2000. The book is still being read in American universities. Dewey's plan required that a new educational curriculum should be developed and tested in private experiment stations. He wrote, after such schools have worked out carefully and definitely the subject matter of a new curriculum, finding the right place for language studies and placing them in their right perspective, the problems of the more general educational reform will be immediately simplified and facilitated. So he said, we've got to have these experimental schools. All of this was being carefully planned by a self-appointed group of socialists who called themselves progressives. They knew that what they were doing was subversive and treasonous. Indeed, Dewey wrote, and this is very interesting, he wrote, change must come gradually. To force it unduly would compromise its final success by favoring a violent reaction. Unquote. If the changes were so beneficial to America's children and society, why would they favor a violent reaction? Obviously, the dumbing down plan would have to be imposed by stealth, deceit, and lies. And that is why no progressive educator can be trusted. They have been told to lie in order to bring about their socialist scheme in our schools. You see, they lie. It's natural for them to lie, because what they're doing is subversive, and they don't want the parents to know.
Now, just as something to back Sam up, if you look at the history of, for example, the whole language so-called teaching system, which does not teach children how to read phonetically based on the way the Phoenicians developed the alphabetical system of reading left to right with letters that represent sounds, combinations of letters that represent new sounds, and phonemes syllabically with rhythm. The whole language look-say method that sprouted up in the 1930s and really started to grow in the 1950s was pushed by people like John Dewey and others, the Rockefellers and others, and they began to push it not just in the classrooms. They started in the teaching colleges. They realized that they couldn't get immediate effect in the classrooms first, so they had to get their hands on the people who would be teaching the classes. Teachers' colleges started to sprout up. And what's funny is, as Sam says, they would not tell the truth. So when parents started to complain about look-say, they didn't change the policy, they gave it a new name, whole language. When they complained about whole language, they gave it a new name, same policy, called literature, sight words. This is the type of mentality we deal with. We'll return. We continue Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network. LG Grande here with you, Gardner Goldsmith. And I want to spend a little bit more time talking about Sam Blumenfeld, and especially to those people who might be new to the radio program, if you're hearing the words of a guy who claims that there have been people who intended to actually dumb people down, to split people into castes in the United States through a government-run school system, and have groups of workers and groups of intellectuals. Well, what's amazing is that Sam Blumenfeld actually got the contemporaneous writings of these people and then traced their power roots to see how they influenced the system. And it's a combination of the tendency of government to get into various systems, whether it be running the roads, and taking things over, despite the fact that roads were originally built in the United States privately. They didn't use eminent domain. They had to actually offer people money and make deals, consensual deals with people. They couldn't just take the land. But eventually the government got involved, and the people making the roads found that they could work with the governments as contractors for their work. So that's a great example of it. Government tended to grow, and it started to grow in the field of education. And he traces it in his terrific book, Is Public Education Necessary? Sam Blumenfeld died this morning, 10:30 this morning, at 89 years of age. He was 1 year short of 90 years of age, and the man was still going strong. And I just want to mention that Sam actually quotes people who discuss how reading is just it's too chaotic, and it causes people to pull away from their social contacts. And we have to have a United States that is more socially connected, more populist, and the intellectuals will lead. It's a very Platonic, Socratic kind of view, that there will just be some naturally intelligent people who will be able to learn how to read, and they won't necessarily need the instruction. They'll be able to figure it out themselves. And the vast majority of people, they'll be needed for blue-collar work. So they will be taught the look-say method. And if they come out of it, they come out of it illiterate, that's okay. Because for many people, this is absolutely in writing from some of these people, for many people, it's just too distracting to read and takes away from the social environment. So this is the sort of thing that Sam began to warn people about back in the late 60s. He picked up on it from a book in the 1950s. And he noted that they would just use new terminology. They eventually, when people started to speak out, they said, okay, you know what, we're going to have to do this clandestinely now. And it's very strange. Early on, the intellectuals would say what their ideas were. When they started to have an effect on the school systems and the parents didn't like it, they started to make things up. Oh, yeah, we're teaching phonics. And if you go into the classroom, you actually see what they're teaching. They're not teaching phonics. And I've said this before. If you go into any elementary school, early grades, and you see a list of words on the wall for your child's classroom, that is a dead ringer that they are not being taught phonics. Because a child who's taught how to read doesn't need a list of words, because the child is learning the process to decipher the words himself. You see, the whole language look-say thing gives people an entire word as a pictogram, like the Chinese so-called alphabet, which is a Chinese pictogrammatic system. And it tells them to associate it with a picture. So they'll have a picture of a world. They'll say the earth. Rather than E-A-R-T-H, that's earth. They'll show a ball, B-A-L-L. Now, rather than teach someone how to then read wall or something like tall, by taking away the first letter and showing how the A-L-L has a common sound to it that you can use and implement each time, how the A has an A and the all with the L's, they won't do that. You've got to memorize each word separately and associate it with the picture, which becomes very, very difficult. And when you get to larger words, as I've mentioned, words such as doctor, if you just taught the word doctor, you can't read doctorate. It's a different thing. You don't recognize that it has a root form. You don't go left to right and see doc and tor, and then A-T-E, eight, doctorate, right? You can't just say, well, I don't know what that is, but I can sound it out. Now I'll look it up. The ability to read opens up the intellect. It allows people to be inquisitive and discover new information on their own. And this was a key plank in the progressives' strategy to start to make the American system of education something that produces workers and elites. And Sam hit this. It's just excellent. And as we've seen, the education system has gone down and down and down. And as I mentioned, in the mid-1990s, even the SAT people adjusted the SAT tests quantitatively in a bell curve so that people got higher scores. You can't compare SATs from today to SATs before 1996, I think. Probably 1996. And, of course, they give more time, all sorts of things. So Sam has done yeoman's work. And I'm going to play for you in the next segment. I'll play you a little bit of information about Sam's new book. But, again, one of the key things here is to keep in mind that if you get these books from Sam, he has it all documented. And he'll show you he actually goes into their journals, their meetings, the minutes from their meetings and conversations that they have had. And it's really quite interesting. The system, of course, became mixed with the idea of creating good cogs in the state machine. Obviously, many people who are familiar with the history of U.S. education have seen how the U.S. educators picked up the Prussian model. Very regimented, going by bells, marching from class to class. And that was done not to make people good thinkers, but to make people good followers. And Sam's warning about the reading techniques is a great example of how prescient he was. And he warned people early on. That's why he wrote his book, Why Johnny Still Can't Read. Because he said, I told you years ago this was going to happen. More diagnoses of dyslexia and things like that. Here's a little bit more. Sam Blumenfeld, who passed away today.
So they couch everything they do in this progressive jargon, which very few people can understand. Did they know that their new teaching methods would create reading disability and dyslexia? They found out pretty early at the expense of four of the richest boys in America. Believe it or not, John D. Rockefeller Jr. was a great admirer of John Dewey, and he put his four sons, Nelson, David, Lawrence, and Winthrop, in the Lincoln School, one of the experimental schools called for by Dewey. Rockefeller donated over $3 million to the school, and what was the result? All four boys became dyslexic. But of course, that didn't stop the progressives from implementing their plan. Incidentally, when Nelson was governor of New York, he wrote in the Reading Teacher of March 1972, quote, I appreciate the opportunity to make some observations on the importance of reading, for I am a prime example of one who has had to struggle with the handicap of being a poor reader while serving in public office. On many occasions, he writes, upon confronting an audience, I have elected to announce that I have thrown away my speech in favor of giving the audience the benefit of my spontaneous thoughts. And usually I have added, besides, I went to a progressive school and don't read very well anyhow.
Good job, Sam Blumenfeld. When we return, I'll play you the last interview Sam Blumenfeld did. He chatted with me for about 5.5 minutes on the 12th of May. We'll return.
Hey, this is Vince McCann. Wow, look, I gotta talk fast because this headset's killing me. A long time ago, politicians discovered the most amazing cleaning product, the Con Wow. Just look at all the abuse this Con Wow can take. You can use it to clean up spills, clean cars, and look how it absorbs this blood and saliva from a detainee held by the CIA. Con Wow can do it all. Be wrung out and used again any way the government wants. It wasn't designed this way, but politicians are so inventive, this super malleable document can be used for anything. Healthcare? Con Wow. Bailouts? ConWow. Look, you can even pick up urine spilled from this government-funded artwork. Can an ordinary constitution do this? No way. ConWow does it all. Listen, you gotta call now, got it? Because the ConWow might not be available much longer. Call right away and we'll even give you this great set of media blinders. They're perfect for the beach, ball game, or to make yourself and the populace oblivious to government crimes. It's all yours for just $19.95. $19.95. You gotta call now. NSA wiretappers are standing by.
Continuing Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network. Gardner Goldsmith here with you. I will open up the Skype line shortly. That is Gardner.Goldsmith on Skype. Find our podcast at Podomatic and at iTunes. In fact, you'll find in our Podomatic library where all of those shows are stored, you'll find a, I think, 2008 interview with Sam Blumenfeld. We're talking about Sam Blumenfeld, Dr. Sam Blumenfeld, who passed away today. 89 years old, and 89 years old and a day, and the man was quite a remarkable guy and an amazing scholar. And if you get the opportunity and you're looking for his book, if you get the interest and you're looking for his book, The Marlowe Shakespeare Connection, it will be reissued right now. If you go to find it, it is out of print, and in order to get it, it will cost you over $500 if you go to Abe or anything like that. Actually, Amazon just connects to Abe and a number of others, too. So it's very difficult to get it, but we have a couple copies here, and it's just an amazing book. It's really interesting. And it's it purports, and I think reasonably so, the theory that the plays that are attributed to William Shakespeare were actually written by Christopher Marlowe. Christopher Marlowe was said to have died just outside of a pub brawl, essentially. Sam Blumenfeld uncovered evidence that clearly shows that Marlowe did not die in any such of a fight, but in fact, that was a story concocted because he was a spy for the Queen, and he lived the rest of his life in Corsica, paid by the British Crown. And he wrote plays and also made money off the plays. The plays were brought in from Corsica, and they were put on by William Shakespeare, but Shakespeare himself did not write the plays. It's called The Marlowe Shakespeare Connection, and it is a phenomenal read. I hope you'll look for it, because Sam put so much research into it, and he felt so strongly about it, and he felt so strongly about the beauty of the works that he hoped that it would inspire not only people to do research about the authorship question, but also to read all of the works, because he just found them to be so beautiful and so insightful. And there's so much information that he offered in those books. I wanted to make sure that I brought that up. Sam was a terrific guy. He obviously was interested in literature. He was also interested in economics. He gave me about half of his subscription copies of the early versions of the Freeman magazine from the Foundation for Economic Education. And one of the things that pleased me most was the first time I ever got anything published, apart from doing, you know, movie reviews for our local newspaper here in New Hampshire, was for the Freeman magazine as edited by Sheldon Richman. And It just delighted me because I was able to show it to my father, and you know, he gave me a thumbs up. Good job, Guard. That's good stuff. And I just, because my father had been, you know, an intellectual guide for me, and he's the one who showed me Sam Blumenfeld's work, showed me the work of Henry Hazlitt, showed me the work of Ludwig von Mises. He had just reams of information, Murray Rothbard, you know, he had notebooks filled with quotes from John Locke and Thomas Jefferson, Aristotle in particular, Lao Tzu, of course, Chinese philosopher, probably the proto-libertarian in world history. Sam Blumenfeld walked parallel to libertarians. In most cases, he would probably be considered a libertarian, but also was a traditionalist. He was a very religious person and believed that there were large religious struggles going on all around the world, and that there were very, very large factions of the progressive movements that were very anti-religious, wanted to break down religious bonds, and particularly the Judeo-Christian tradition. Because in the Judeo-Christian tradition, it was very anti-authority as far as earthly authority went. It was very much in favor of individual thought, that you were blessed with your own intellect, that God gave you certain things to utilize. And it was very much in favor of peace and private property. It has been, unfortunately, used in very nasty ways through the centuries since Christ's time. But Sam believed in this, and he also believed in the traditional small government constitutionalist side of the U.S. historical philosophical strain, whereas I am one step beyond that over into the anarcho-capitalist strain. But he understood the importance of free markets. He understood how anarcho-capitalism worked, and he supported capitalism and free markets. In fact, I think you would probably use the term free markets rather than capitalism often, because capitalism was a term that was used by and coined by Karl Marx. I want to play for you as a way to end this hour. I was actually going to play this in the beginning of the next hour and use this segment to tell you a little bit about some other news stories and stuff, and then say, oh, you know, when we come back, we'll play our last interview with Sam Blumenfeld. But I thought, no, you know what, I'll do it this hour so that, especially in the podcast form, everything is together for you. I happened to speak with the person who was taking care of Sam, a man named Gustavo, and some members of Gustavo's family, when Sam was sick on his deathbed on May 12th. And he said, you know, would you like to speak to Sam? He has opportunities to speak. He has the energy, and he's completely lucid and sharp. And I'm sure we'd like to talk to you. And I said, yeah, that would be great. So he put Sam on the phone, and Sam's just a great guy. And as we were speaking, Sam is so dedicated to allowing people to free their children from bad education sources. We decided that we would record something. I believe this is probably the last one Sam conducted. And Sam was just an amazing guy. He died this morning at 89 years of age. He was the author of so many books. NEA, Trojan Horse of American Education, Is Public Education Necessary? The New Illiterates, Why Johnny Still Can't Read, Alpha Phonics, and his latest, Crimes of the Educators, which, by the way, oh, during the interview, you'll hear him mention criminal educators and things like that. Obviously, a man who is on his deathbed, I think we can excuse that. The very fact, and I'm actually sort of glad that we're starting the first segment of the second hour with more information about Sam. I had only planned to do two segments, then I was going to go into other things, news update things and things like that. But Sam deserves this, and I think the Sam would probably say that he didn't deserve that, but perhaps the listeners deserve to get some of the information that he hoped they might be able to get, because it can save children. It can save futures, children who become adults. And Sam was one of the very early critics of the so-called whole language, look, say, reading method. And he warned people in the late 1960s, watch out, there's going to be a blossoming of this term called dyslexia. Sure enough, his prediction came true. He would take parents and sit them down and say, well, I'll work on your child's reading skills if you'd like me to work with that child. And the parents had been told by the school systems that there was a physiological problem
with the children. Most of these parents were told this. I ran into a grandmother who was told this about her grandchild. And within 5 minutes, I showed her that the problem was not her grandchild's brain, but her grandchild's teacher's methods. They were teaching the method that the progressives pushed in the early 1900s and that have destroyed generation after generation of people in some of the most expensive government-run schools on the planet. They shell out bad teaching methods and release illiterates into the world, destroying their lives, reducing the productive capacity of those people, and reducing the overall ability of the populace to be able to enjoy even more productive and inventive critical thinkers. Sam Blumenfeld believed in the good. One of the best things that I can say about Sam was that he was a truly, truly good man, a good person. He was amazing. He was always so nice to me, so amenable. We had dinners, just a fantastic person. And I'm sorry to see him pass at the age of 89, but he did it right. He achieved many things, and he exercised his intellect in areas that he found interesting. And he helped people so much. And so I'll begin again playing this for you, the last interview that I was able to conduct, and I think a lot of people would probably see this as the last one Sam did. It's about 5.5 minutes as he's talking about his new book, which was just released back in March. It's called The Crimes of the Educators. He co-wrote it with a person who writes a lot for WorldNet Daily, and I think his name is Alex Newman. And it's about this history. And you'll hear this again if you heard this in the last segment, a little bit. I didn't get all the way through it. And since I didn't get all the way through it, I get to play it all for you now, and I'll get right to it. But I just want to remind you how amazing it was for me to be on the phone to talk to Sam for the last time. And this is weird, but I'm talking to Sam Blumenfeld for the last time I'm going to talk to him on the planet Earth, most likely. And he's so dedicated to trying to help people's kids, to trying to alert people to the bad government school systems that he has been fighting for decade after decade, to try to help people. He's on his deathbed, weakened, and yet he says, well, if you'd like, let's do an interview, and we'll tell people about this problem. It's just incredible. Here it is. Hey, everybody. I have the opportunity right now to turn on my recording program and bring in a man I have been wanting, a man I've wanted to get on a new interview, and he is here with us right now, and he has been very sick, but is here in amazing form to talk about his new book just briefly, very briefly. He is, of course, Samuel Blumenfeld, the tip of the spear in stabbing Leviathan and the bureaucratic government school system. Sam, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. The book, of course, is Criminals in Education. That's the title of the book, I believe. Criminals in Education.
Mm.
And I go through the 100-year conspiracy by John Dewey to destroy this country by launching a conspiracy to dumb down the American people. And in order to do this, he decided to use the schools and to take the reading of, take the teaching of reading and turn it into a means of creating illiteracy in this country.
It's an amazing story, and it's all documented as well.
Yes, of course. So this particular book portrays a diabolical conspiracy not only diabolical but insidious, and that is started in 1889 and has continued to the present day. And its purpose is to change America from a constitutional republic to a some sort of socialist society.
Mm.
And he tells us the model that he is using for his socialism. It's a book by Edward Bellamy written in 1889, Looking Backward, published in 1888, in which he uses the coming to America as a socialist society in the year 2000. And you could buy the book.
Yes, Bellamy was very much a socialist collectivist, and he wrote it. It's a novel, I believe, but he includes pretty much most of his worldview. Correct, Sam?
Exactly. He was a Unitarian journalist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and I think you'll find it of interest.
And as you pointed out, Sam, in your book, "Is Public Education Necessary?" The Unitarians were highly influential in Boston, around Boston and Massachusetts, in trying to push for government education, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's
public education.
And you mentioned the word insidious. It truly is, and I'm very glad that you brought that up about Dewey, because many people in public education today look at John Dewey as a hero. And he was not a hero. And in fact, people can say, oh, it's a wild conspiracy theory to say that he wanted to dumb people down. But as you have noted, with actual quotations and citations from those people around him and him, that they did believe that it was necessary to have a blue-collar cadre, a caste system, in a way, to create the best utopian society that they wanted, correct?
Well, what they wanted was two types of education. They wanted one type for the elite and the rest for the plebeians.
Yep.
That's the reason you have the kind of education you have here today. And they've been very successful. As you know, test scores are way down, and kids can't write anymore. They can't do arithmetic. They've done a full job.
They really have, Sam. Thank you so much. I know that your time will, of course, out of necessity, be limited. And I know that you haven't been feeling well. And to hear you continue to talk and to push for freedom and education is, thank you so much. It's a remarkable thing, Sam.
Bye-bye.
You bet, Sam. And I'm going to go off the microphone to just speak to you privately for a moment.
Right.
And, just an amazing guy, and so gracious to me. And I think one of the things about Sam that struck me was he was so dedicated to trying to get the word out, because he knew that people's futures were at stake. And, you know, I have long been of the opinion that if there is real evil, metaphysical evil in the world, then that evil, whatever it was, would want to see human beings squander their potential, whether it be themselves squandering it or that potential being destroyed by systems that trap them. And I consider the state evil because it is immoral, it is anti-choice, and human beings have to choose for themselves. And the only way that one can show his or her own ethics is through moral action. That is, ethics internal, moral external. And if you are not allowed those choices, morality is destroyed. The option of being moral is taken away from you. The option of deciding whether or not you will be moral. Sam Blumenfeld was a moral man, and he understood this precept. He understood this axiom of human existence. He was a heavy intellect. He was a truly fair person. And what he predicted came to pass when it came to illiteracy in the United States. In fact, his diagnosis of the reasons for that illiteracy were over and over and over proven correct. The look-say method of reading. And that was just one facet of his work. And again, I want to bring up to you an example just before we shift into our next story. One of our listeners happened to write in. She says, "Great show tonight." I won't mention her name. "My eldest son was almost moved to special education classes for reading issues in government schools because of sight reading, just like Sam Blumenfeld said. It cost us $20,000 to pinpoint the problem and put him in a three-month private school program with one-on-one teaching. Had he been taught phonics at the kindergarten, had he been taught phonics at the kindergarten and first grade level, he'd still have been a slower reader, but he'd have been able to read. Phonemic awareness would likely have never become an issue. The sight reading method of teaching actually undermined the old-fashioned sounded out I used at home when teaching him the alphabet at the age 3 and 4 years old. We learned so much from the experience and continued sounded out with our younger children when they started school, no matter what the reading worksheets called for." Absolutely right. Okay. That's our program, everybody, and I hope you've liked it. I'm just coming in here to sort of give you a final bookend to use that scholarly imagery and think about all the books that Sam Blumenfeld read and wrote and about which he wrote. And I hope you will look for the great work of Samuel Blumenfeld. He was a great blessing in my life, and I thought it was worth... In fact, it's worth a heck of a lot more than doing just one podcast about a guy like this. I will try to make sure that I post more information about him on Twitter and on Facebook, interviews that I have conducted and others have conducted as well. And, you know, I hope that as you hear a guy speaking into a podcast microphone, you know, I'm a host on the program, but I'm just a regular guy like everybody else, and it's real sad when somebody great is gone. And it's sad, but at the same time, Sam Blumenfeld stood in a relatively unique position, and that is that he conducted his life with amazing honor and grace and integrity. And so if you look at a life well-lived to the fullest, you can't beat a guy like Sam Blumenfeld. Achievements, great personality, honesty, and right dealing. So what can you do? And a central quest to seek out the truth and try to act by true principles. Can't go wrong. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you'll spread the word about this and tell people about Sam's work. This is a lifelong achievement on his part. All of the material he put together trying to stress freedom for people in education and a scholarship about some of the amazing things that people get to read when they are truly educated. So thanks again, and we'll talk to you again with more of the international breaking issues and the libertarian perspective on these things, and hopefully we'll be able to be erudite and use with a bit of alacrity, let's say. So thanks for tuning in. See you.
it's gonna take me alive. The time has come to make things right. You and I must fight for our rights. You and I must fight to survive. No one's gonna take me alive. The time has come to make.